Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strikeout, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, men's and women's basketball now know who they'll be facing opening night in the Sun Belt MAC Challenge. Some good opponents there. We'll tell you about those matchups. Also, the A-State soccer team had a very colorful July 4th. Pretty neat to see them over the holiday. But this is episode number 200 of the Second to None podcast. We wanted to do something a little bit different, and so many times our guest today is the one that is setting up the interviews for us. But today, we're going to do a rare interview with him. He's the Senior Associate Athletic Director for External Relations. It's Jerry Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, fellas. Good to be here. And, hey, listen, so this is number 200, right. And so everybody knows this is where the Second to None podcast, this is where it gets really difficult to book guests.
Honestly,
where you run out of options.
Here's what this is where I thought he was going, and maybe it's just because where I would have gone. I thought he said, this is episode number 200, and we wanted to do something special, but none of those people were available, so let's bring in our guest.
Well, hey, listen, there are a couple of rules. One is we cannot talk about Bobo's hole-in-one. That's off limits.
Yeah, we did that last
week. I'll set the microphone down right now. And then the second one is you guys have a reputation for trying to make people cry, and I'm not going to cry, so let's don't even attempt it.
You don't even want to know on the hole-in-one that since it's been discussed here on the show that the answer to the question people had, that yes, indeed, it did turn out to be a hole-in-one prize, and I have it. At my house.
What is it?
I got a new Xbox shipped right to the house.
You still messed up, though. You should have got a hole-in-one on the other.
On the car.
Oh, yeah, got the car.
Hey, listen, since we're going to break the rules, since Bobo has to talk about his hole-in-one, this is actually his second hole-in-one. Is that right, Bobo?
That is true. All right.
It makes us even more mad. This will be, and it's already close to getting off the rails, but it'll be the most structured conversation we probably ever had.
No, it's going to be the most edited version that you've ever had of the Second to None podcast.
Here's the deal. And I was actually thinking about this before we, last night or getting ready for this. I thought, I will actually probably learn stuff about Jerry, because in 19 years, you really just don't sit down and have a normal conversation with him. So I actually think there'd be stuff I hear today I've never heard before.
Well, and there's nothing I don't think you two don't know. I was talking to Matt about it, and maybe you too, Bobo, but really to me, this is kind of our podcast. We've been in it together. We've been doing it for so long.
Silent partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just letting folks in on the conversation today. And
letting them meet the Wizard of Oz.
Which you are. That's a good comparison. This is the guy behind the curtain.
Pull
so,
back the curtain.
Just to let folks know how long we've been together, you just wrapped up year 19. I wrapped up year 20. And Bobo, this is how many years around A-State?
This was the end of 22.
So Bobo's a little bit older than us. I don't know if our audience knows that or not. That's right, isn't it, Bobo?
Actually, you're the oldest of the bunch.
We're going to have to go back in and pull out some birth certificates. I don't know if I believe that.
We're all within a couple of years.
Yeah, it's all close.
It's close. It really is.
Let's give folks a little bit of history here. So you came in the fall of 06, right? Before the 06 football season. I had been around a year, and you come in as the new associate AD for sports information. So I know your role has evolved a lot over the years, but I mean, you came in after Gina Bowman, who had been here forever. That was really the only SID that anybody knew around here.
Right. And so you've got Jerry Schaefer. It's a very short list. It really is. In terms of continuity within the Arkansas State Athletics Department, you've probably seen as much of that in sports information, media relations, as you've seen anywhere. Take Ron Carroll out of it, and hands down.
I've always said that it's like it's the Pittsburgh Steelers head coaching job of our department. It really is.
It
never comes open.
Very short list, and we've been able to have some really good ones in those roles. But how has your role evolved over 19 years now?
Well, and first, let's step back, because you mentioned Gina Bowman. Gina Bowman's obviously a legend, but it was a great situation for me to step into with Gina still working in athletics, because she was a walking encyclopedia. She had great connections. Anything you needed to know about the job or Arkansas State, she was just a fantastic resource. And so that was really an ideal situation for me to be able to step in and work with somebody of that caliber. So she was great. And, you know, in the beginning, it was truly a sports information job for me. That's what I did in the truest sense of the position and the responsibilities. But as we progressed and, you know, we went through different changes in leadership, and I've enjoyed every one of them. They were all really great to me. My role evolved a little bit, and the title did not change. So, you know, even though it was sports information, I began working more closely with marketing. I began working more closely with development. You start to work with some of the other areas, such as student athlete services, compliance, academics. It's all those things. And so it's kind of evolved into now a more true external position and title and responsibilities. But the thing with it is, even though I have some oversight with certain areas, with marketing and with communications and broadcasting and with some of the branding stuff and the creative services, it's not what it truly is. I mean, Bobo runs marketing. Mark Taylor handles sports information. We've got good people in good places, and so I'm there now to support. If there's one thing that I will brag about, it is the people that we've hired in those areas. We've been able to do a good job and get some good people into those roles, and it's made my job working with those departments really a great experience.
That's what makes it really flow. You're right. You have hired some really, really good people. And you mentioned Mark Taylor. I mean, he's as good as it gets, but just your support staff over 19 years. I mean, there's not many staffs in America that I'm sure compared to that.
No, there's really not. And it's the same thing we talked about at the start of the podcast, the continuity with a head position in sports information. But really, we've had good success with the marketing and the assistant SIDs too. We've been able to keep good people in place for a longer period of time. There's a huge benefit to that, and you get more comfortable with people, and you get to know kind of what their needs are and how to work with them and how to maximize opportunities. So from that side, it's been really, really good.
I mean, Mark, we all know, he could go run somebody's operation if he wanted to. And fortunately for us, you know, he's an Arkansas State guy, and that's where he's comfortable.
Yeah.
His family's here, and I mean, it's certainly worked to our advantage because he's top of the line.
No doubt about it.
All right, so you're from Gatesville, Texas. That's right smack dab in the heart of Texas. Ended up going to Tarleton State. When did you find out sports information was a thing? When did you want to go down that path?
In high school, I was a very mediocre player on a very average football team, basketball teams. We were very average, and I was a very average player on those teams. But listen, it was a great experience. I learned a lot about sports, and I loved it, and I loved the teamwork and the teammates and all the relationships and everything that went into it. So I knew coming out of high school I wanted to do something in athletics, right? And so I went to Tarleton State initially to be a coach, and probably about my sophomore year I realized that that was maybe not the path for me, but I knew still athletics was. And my older brother was a head football coach at Prosper at the time. And he said, hey, why don't you look at sports information? He said, that might be kind of cool. I think you might enjoy that. And so I started digging into it. I met with the sports information director at Tarleton State. And at that time, Tarleton State was a Division II school. They had just transitioned from NAIA whenever I got there. So it was a one-man shop. The guy's name was Reed Richmond. really taught me about the industry, embraced me, and at, you know, a smaller Division II school at the time. Now Tarleton State's really grown their enrollment and their campus, and they're an FCS program now. So it's changed a lot, and their administration has done a great job. But at the time, it was a one-man shop, so he was responsible for everything. You didn't have a ton of students volunteering really anywhere in the athletics department, but that includes sports information. And Reed took me in, and he kind of showed me the ropes and gave me a lot of opportunities and a lot of responsibilities. And there's a lot of things that I still carry with me that he taught me. You know, there were some hard lessons. I remember we were playing Pittsburgh State at the time, and I was a student, so we had a baseball game, and we were playing Pittsburgh State in softball. And I was responsible for keeping the stats, and so I entered everything as Pittsburgh with an H, like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and wrote the recap, and everything I posted, I misspelled Pittsburgh. And so he came back to me after the fact and, you know, just popping mad, really red-faced, and he said, you know, hey, we can't have it. You got to take pride in your work, focus on the details, and make sure anything that we produce is correct. And so that really resonated with me, and it stuck with me. And so I learned a lot of stuff from Reed. But anyways, I did that for the last few years, and then had an opportunity to go to grad school at North Texas. And I went to North Texas because I had an opportunity to do a GA spot in communications with the athletics department there, a guy named Sean Johnson, who happened to know Reed Richmond really well. And so I had an opportunity to do that for a couple of years.
Then to what? Stuck around North Texas, right?
I did. So I said a couple of years. I need to take it back. I did it for two semesters, and then I had an opportunity to take a full-time position there. And so I wanted to do that. I knew that this was the path for me, and so I moved to the full-time position, stopped going to grad school. That was around 1999, and did that for 7 years there. Another great experience working with a lot of great people. And about that time, I got a call from Dean Lee, who was the AD at Arkansas State in 2006. He said that he had reached out to some people, and there were some folks in the league that had really said, hey, you may want to consider Jerry Scott. And I think Todd Stewart, who's now the AD at Western Kentucky, was one of those people because he mentioned him specifically by name. And I knew Todd because Todd had been the communications guy for the Sun Belt Conference. And so he gave me that opportunity, and then got here in 2006, and the rest is history, right?
Yeah, your whole story. I mean, that's a big reason why you and I kind of connected the way we did early on. We're both from Texas. I went to school at North Texas. You had worked there for a long time and knew a lot of the same people. You were in the same boat as me in that you're trying to get involved at Arkansas State with kind of the same people. You want to forge those good relationships. And fortunately, when we came in, we were able to work with a couple of really, really good guys that kind of helped us along the way. And you mentioned one of them in Dean Lee. We don't talk about him enough and just kind of the role that he played as far as the history of Arkansas State athletics in the last 20 years. But then Steve Roberts, too. That was the first head football coach that both you and I were able to work with. You talk about being able to break in here at A-State with some really good people. Those are two of the best.
I mean, listen, they're good as gold. And all three of us. Like, we all maintain those relationships with both of those guys. I mean, 20 years later, you know, and we call them and we exchange text messages with them on a regular occurrence. And they still, you know, they want to check in. They want, you know, see how things are going. Not only were they good at their job and what they did and give us an opportunity to grow and to develop, but they're good people. They're as good as they come. And I think all three of us, it's safe to say, like, we treasure those relationships. And we were fortunate. We all were beginning at Arkansas State around that time to come in with two good dudes who cared about people.
They gave me so much confidence, believed in me, encouraged me. And I'm sure kind of with both of you, it was the same thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Lee and his staff, his associate AD at the time. I mean, it's funny, you know, I did a year, they'd come to Paragould and gotten a deal made for the stations up there to carry women's basketball and baseball. And for me to call them, well, I called those sports for a year and then ended up traveling with football too, which wasn't a plan until just a couple weeks before the season started. And then after a year of that, you know, there was a marketing job open. A buddy of mine that I went to school with kind of reached out and asked me if I'd put a word in for him. And I said, for the marketing job? And I was like, yeah, I will. So I did. I emailed Chris Hanna, the associate AD at the time, and vouched for my buddy. And Doc, as he went by, he called me later that day. So I knew it's what he's going to call about. And he's like, hey, if you can still call ball games, you'd be interested in this job? I was like, yeah, we can talk about it.
No brainer.
I say all that, say that staff, you know, Dr. Lee and his staff at the time, I would have never envisioned even being that close to it, calling ball games, would never thought about coming to work on the staff. They didn't kind of see that as an option for me.
Listen, the one consistent,
those
you
SOBs.
Know, we see here and we talk about Coach Roberts and we talk about Dr. Lee and the influence they had on us. But the one consistent, and we've seen a lot of change and we've seen a lot of coaches and a lot of administration and even from a media side, some people come and go. But we've always been surrounded by good people. I don't think you stay anywhere for 19, 20 years, 21 years, 22 without being surrounded by good people, because that's what it's about.
Batting average at Arkansas State in that area is really high. Nobody bats 1,000, but it's real high.
I want to stick with kind of those first years. And I remember, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this, the very first game that I ever called at Arkansas State, so this is a year before you got here, Jerry, was in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, and we played Missouri. I remember vividly the ride. It was the first time Bobo and I actually rode in the car together, and we're driving down, obviously it wasn't even named Red Wolf Boulevard back then, it was Stadium Boulevard, and we're on our way to meet Coach Keady, wherever we're going to meet him, to ride the rest of the way to Kansas City. And I remember him kind of telling me about what this ride is going to be like with Bill Keady.
I bet I can remember what I told you.
But you explained just what I was about to hear. He said, well, first you need to learn the word jig.
Right.
He said, it can be a noun, a verb, but you're going to hear it, and this is right. What it means.
You got to keep your head on. You got to be paying attention. It could be any part of speech at any time.
That's right. So he geared me up for that. I will tell you, those trips with Coach Keady were just some of the best times I've ever had at Arkansas State. And then I know the following year you came in, but what are your first memories? Because when I got around him, I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. We had so much fun on the road together with the three of us and Coach Keady, and it may have been Van Province or Mark Taylor, whoever was with us. But what was your first impression when you came in and were kind of part of this group?
It was the same thing, right? This is going to be a blast. How can you not have fun with Bill Keady? Like, it's impossible. If you can't have fun with Bill Keady, you can't have fun with anybody. He was a great ambassador for Arkansas State. He was always a sounding board for me. If I ran into a situation where I needed some advice, I always felt comfortable going to Coach Keady. And he was good from that side, but he could light up a room, just his personality, right? But he could help you understand it in a way that made sense. And it wasn't like those road trips were fun, but here's what I really remember about Coach Keady is that he would just happen to, anytime he was near the campus, he would come by the office and sit down, and we'd just have a conversation for 5 minutes. And it may have to do with Arkansas State, or it may have to do with nothing, really. But he was just fantastic.
For as much fun as it was to go to games, all the places we went to games, the game was secondary to the trip. It really was.
It's what you look forward to.
It absolutely was. I mean, there's obviously a whole nother podcast sitting there of Coach Keady's stories.
Yeah, the energy, the personality, like you saw it on the air. It was the same thing. You got the same thing on and off the air. He was just really great.
Yeah, and just had such a special way of making you feel welcome, making you feel important. When he passed, it wasn't the same there for a couple of years. It was hard going on those trips. I mean, it was probably at least a year or two.
Well, because of all things, we were on one.
Yeah.
I mean, you were sitting here talking about it, and we were on one. We were in Toledo. So, yeah, it did change that a lot. Pretty funny, I guess, as you spin it forward, and all of a sudden, you know, these names keep popping back up in conference realignment. But to me, like, the biggest downside to Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky leaving the league was that we didn't have any more chances to go there for football games, because when we went to those places, we picked Coach Keady up in the simulcast room at Southland Park.
All right,
that was the meeting spot.
Look, we got a million stories that we can tell, But we will tell one story here because I remember, and I'm sure Jerry remembers this too, we met at Southland going to middle one
And all
year.
He'd say is, go to simulcast room and tell me you're looking for Coach. That's all he had to do.
Everybody in there knew where Coach was. Everybody in there knew who Coach was. And we all put our money together and bet on...
It was a trifecta, I think.
Random trifecta, and we hit on our way to Murfreesboro, so we all had a little extra money in our pocket on that trip.
We did. The only thing I can remember is we always told him, or I always told him, bet on yellow. Bet on yellow.
That's a whole other story.
And you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea. Customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing the visit with Jerry Scott here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. We've worked with so many different coaches over the years. You've worked so closely with all of them, so many athletic directors. One of the big things you've had to do, and anybody has to do in your role, is earn somebody's trust. Really, if you're going to do your job effectively, that's part of the process, right? You've got to completely earn that coach or that athletic director's trust and able to do your job.
Well, you do. And in my opinion, trust and communication are two of the most important things that I can provide in my role. Whenever I'm working with athletic directors or head coaches or staff, I want to be able to do those two things and do them effectively and that stuff. But you have to adapt. Each one has a different personality, and each one has a certain way that they want to function, and they're all a little different, but they're all very good in their own ways and in their different ways, and it's just a different management style. But you want to come in, you want to develop that relationship, and it starts with open communication, but making sure that they understand that if there's something that I can provide for them, to whether it's helping them win games or whether it's dealing with staff or the communication that we have with the fan base, that I'm here for them and we'll make the decisions together and do what makes sense for everybody.
I mean, you've earned that trust. Butch Jones trusts you completely, and that's something you got to earn. I'll give this compliment about you, and there's not many people that I can even think of that I can say this about, but I don't know anyone that's universally liked and universally respected the way that you are. That's not just here at Arkansas State, but that's around the entire Sun Belt Conference. So I don't know if there's a question there, but I think that's something people need to know about you.
I appreciate that. I really do. It's a very nice thing to say, and it's important to me, the relationships that we develop. Because whenever I first got into sports and into athletics, I think I tended to lean more towards, hey, we're in a sports business. But we're not. We're not in a sports business. We're in a people business. And those relationships are really important, whether it's the student athletes, the coaches, the fans, the donors, whatever it may be. Like, we are working to provide an experience, to provide opportunities, and it all starts with personal relations. And, you know, you talk about Coach Jones and Coach Pannone and Coach Rogers. You can just go down the list, right? I don't want to single three out. You take all our coaches. I mean, I think everybody has embraced, and even from an administration side, a campus side, they've embraced that it's a partnership. Like, that is the one thing that I really think has been driven home, is that these relationships are actually partnerships. And so, you know, that's a very important piece of it. So, listen, I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot to me. But, and I think the same could be said for you guys, for both of you and the relationships that you have and you maintain with people. So I appreciate that.
Now, I don't know. I do think
I don't know if there's a broadcaster on the planet, no matter how good they are, that's universally liked.
I've said
it's
before,
like a coach.
It,
I mean,
it brings me no pleasure to say that, and I say, I'll probably on here for that. I do believe Jerry is the only person in our department everybody likes.
All right, let's move on.
But now, so here's the thing I've seen. See, there's a price tag with that. Now you think, well, what a great thing to say about a guy, and what a great quality to have. But when you've got that, now you have to listen to everybody vent. You talk about Coach Keady was a sounding board for him.
True.
He's that for everybody else. That's his full-time job, is just listen to people kind of get stuff off their chest.
It's good. Hey, so listen, to switch gears.
He's getting uncomfortable with this.
I want to go back and I want to say, you know, these relationships, I value them for a lot of reasons. And we'll use Coach Jones as one example. Coach Jones is so organized and detailed and has so much insight. And even the way he runs the football organization side of Arkansas State Athletics, like, there is a lot to learn from Coach Jones. And, you know, I always tell everybody, like, my favorite part of the day during season is, or even during spring camp or fall camp, is whenever he huddles up the team and he has that post-practice discussion with them. Like, I'm telling you right now, there is always something that I learn from those conversations and that I can take with me and that helps me manage my staff and the way we do things. And so, you know, you build those relationships, you gain trust, and there's also, you know, great value in the things that you learn from those people. And Coach Jones is just an example, but really we've got a great group of coaches. I mean, you look at the Bubas Cup and what we've been able to do and across the board. I mean, we have got a great coaching staff in place right now.
One thing about him, I'll kind of piggyback on that. That guy never stops accumulating information. He's always trying to find ways to get better. And I could say something when I sit down with him on Thursday morning, and if he thinks it's something is important or wants to remember, he writes it down. I mean, I've never seen anybody write down and take notes the way that Butch Jones does. But I think that's just what makes you good at your job. You're constantly trying to evolve and get better.
He retains it, and then he shares that knowledge. And I'm telling you right now, the expectations, no matter what your job is or what your role is with Coach Jones, are high. But I think you embrace those expectations. You take him as an example. You embrace those expectations, and you work hard, and you try to do the things to help everybody improve and move forward. And you're going to be in a good place with Coach Jones, or no matter who it is.
All right. So media relations is exactly that. You're dealing with the media. And that's something that you've done your entire time here at Arkansas State. So those relationships with media outlets, you've always got to keep those in a good spot, whether it's radio or print or TV or whatever it is. How do you kind of balance that, trying to keep good relationships with the media at the same time? Your job is to present Arkansas State and Arkansas State athletics in the most positive light.
Listen, I think it's been my experience, and this is what I tell our student athletes, is that if you give respect to the media, then you get respect from the media. And so I've always tried to do that. I've always tried to respect the job that they do and understand that they have a job to do, and I want to help them do it. And they've always been really good. Like, our media here, and we've got great, you guys can attest to this, like what you guys do with the Second to None podcast, what EAB does with their programming throughout the day. You got the Jonesboro Sun, you got Channel 8, you got Little Rock Media that's good, you got Jonesboro Radio Group, like on and on and on. And we get great coverage. We really do. Honestly, I would put it up against anybody in the Group of Five and a lot of Power Four schools, and it's good. And I think it's good for fans, and I appreciate that. And it's good for our student athletes and coaches and all the things, right? But I've been really fortunate with the media people that I've worked with at Arkansas State, because they're all A, really talented, but B, care about their job, and they're not going to report things that aren't true or factual, and you can have a conversation with them. You really can. There's not one media person that I deal with on a daily basis that I wouldn't feel comfortable having a conversation with off the record to talk through something and figure it out. And that doesn't happen everywhere, for sure. But I think that's the kind of people we got here, and they're looking to make everybody better.
One thing you do better than anybody is you know how to put on an opening press conference. People talk about winning the press conference. That's something that you've kind of turned into an art over the years. So what's the key to winning a press conference when a new coach or AD is hired?
What did Mark Taylor say the other day, Bubbo, whenever you and I were talking about doing this interview? He said, if we did 1 minute on every press conference, then we'd fill up about half an hour.
Well, I don't want to get into every press conference. I just want to know, you hear from other people just how well these press conferences go and the attendance at these press conferences. We got a great room over at football to hold these anymore. They used to be over at the auditorium inside First National Bank Arena, but it's always well attended. I think any coach or AD that comes to Arkansas State that is introduced at one of these press conferences, they see the turnout from the public and they can't help but be impressed. But then, you know, most of the time the spirit squads are there, the band's there, you got Hal running around, you do the jersey presentation up front, but it's always so well done that you can't help but be impressed. But that's something you take a lot of pride in.
You love it. You go in there and the room's jam-packed and the environment's awesome, and it shows you the kind of people that are associated with Arkansas State. I'm talking about across the board, coaches, staff, fans, donors, alumni, former players, former letter winners. You walk into that room and you feel it, and you got to love that about Arkansas State. Again, that's not something you get everywhere. It's just not. But yes, and so to get to your point about all the different elements that make it up and go into it, yeah, it didn't always start like that, right? I mean, for a while there, whenever I arrived in 2006, we didn't have very many press conferences. But, you know, really, whenever you started looking at the five coaches in 5 years, we started rolling pretty steady with this thing. And they evolved. The press conferences.
Well, you got a lot of practice.
Yeah, you did. We did.
Yeah.
We did. All of us. Like, at some point, like, use this for instance. At some point, you came to me and said, hey, like, we want to carry it live on the radio. You know, and that was just a different element. And now I call you and say, hey, can we carry it live? And we do that. And that's just another great element. You know, you get it on the radio.
Sure.
You know, you've thrown in the live broadcast, the stream of it. But, you know, we didn't always have the spirit squads. We didn't always have the band. We didn't always, you know, have these different things that go into it. So it evolved. And, like, I can't take credit for, like, all these different ideas and what has gone into it. I mean, Bobo's been right there with us, and he's had some great suggestions. And I'm not sure that whenever we brought the band in a couple of years ago, that wasn't Bobo's idea.
He'll take credit for it.
Yeah, yeah. No idea.
Lynn, there you go, Bobo. But, yeah, and that was just a huge thing. And now we do it for every one of them. I mean, so it's fantastic. But, yeah, we take pride in it, and it's important. It's the first real exposure that whoever we're hiring into whatever position it is that they have to Arkansas State. And so, absolutely, do you want to put your best forward and give them a great experience? You do, but you also want to do it for the people who are going to the press conference.
Interesting, yeah, because you raise an interesting point there. No matter what job we're talking about, and no matter what circumstances led that job to becoming open, because sometimes those are positive experiences, sometimes they're not. But no matter why a job came open, at the press conference to name the next person, the energy's always high. It's like it's a new day, no matter what. And so it is kind of, those are kind of fun to tap into like that.
Oh, no doubt. It's one of the best events that we do anytime you start a new era for whatever sport it is. Like, it's a great way to kick it off, and it kicks it off the right way and sets the tone. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes making this stuff happen on that. Use you as an example, Bobo, but there's a lot of other people that come up with ideas and different ways to improve it and to kind of help it keep evolving.
You've become such a big part of everything at Arkansas State, but what I think's cool, I mean, how involved your family's become, your wife Nicole, but your kids are all A-State students now, which I think is really cool.
I'm proud of that. And I always, you know, I told them as they grew up, hey, like, this is how you're going to get your college degree. If dad's going to help with the finances from it, it's going to be Arkansas State. But in the end, my kids, they were born and raised Red Wolves. They were, and they grew up around it, and they saw it, and they experienced it, and that was never the thing. It was never about, like, hey, this is how I'm getting school paid for. Dad's handling it this way. For them, it was, hey, I'm going to Arkansas State. That's where I want to be, and I love the Red Wolves. And so I'm really, really proud of that. William is he's my oldest. He's going to be a senior this year and a finance major. And then I've got Ella, who's going to be a sophomore, and she's a theater major. I'm not sure how we got to theater from sports, but we did, and she loves it. And guess what? She's really talented. Proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then my youngest, Lucy, she's going to do radiologic sciences, but she also made the dance team at A-State. And so that'll be a different dynamic, and it'll be fun for us to experience together on game days, you know, being on the field together. And so I'm really looking forward to that.
All right, we've covered a lot. What are we leaving out here? Anything else you want to make sure you bring up here?
Here's the thing. There's been so many people come through Arkansas State, and a lot of people talk about changing jobs and going to different places and doing different things and how you learn to adapt and see things done differently. Well, that's what it's been at Arkansas State, too, for me, just being able to stay here, because I've seen a lot of different people come in, the way they want to manage things, the ideas, the different initiatives that you take. It's all changed. You learn to adapt. It's the same thing, and it's at Arkansas State. Listen, I'm really proud that all three of us, and that we've done it together, and that we've been here for as long as we have, because I'm super proud to be associated with Arkansas State and with the people, and we've done it together, and it's been a hell of a ride. It's been really fun.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, and most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. A little bit of basketball news coming out here in the last few days. The Sun Belt MAC Challenge is going to open up the season once again. The women will open at home. They take on Ball State. That's November 3rd.
This is akin, you know, it's really pretty comparable to, remember, you know, what a big deal the game last year was when the men opened against Akron, because it's two teams at the top of the league. And you knew it was kind of one of these handpicked marquee matchups. Same deal here, right? I mean, the women are, they're not going to be picked 13th.
Now, are we unveiling a banner that night?
That's a good question. And I'd say it's entirely possible.
Well, that would make that night even bigger if that is indeed the case, but a great matchup on opening night. And the only other meeting for the women against Ball State all the way back in 2001, so it's been a while since they met.
It predates me.
Meanwhile, Ryan Pannone will make his A-State debut that same night, November 3rd. That game will be on the road, as men's basketball will be at Ohio. These teams actually met in the Sun Belt MAC Challenge in the 23-24 season. That was later in the year. That was a February game here in Jonesboro that the Red Wolves won 100-87, but a really good matchup, that Sun Belt MAC Challenge. And of course, we've had a couple of years of this now. You mentioned the Akron game last year for the men. Man, that was awesome. I mean, you talk about a great opening night matchup. It's not some Division II team that you're trying to warm up the season with. We had a really, really good game that the Red Wolves won in overtime against Akron last year, a team that had won the league the year before and went on to win the MAC this past year.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a great way to open up the season. That's what we'll be doing coming up on November
3rd. Everybody loves the November round.
Yeah, I think everybody's
in
favor
of
that one.
There.
The whole February thing is where I think the opinions start to differ a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
One other thing we want to mention here, we had our red, white, and blue color run on the morning of July 4th. That's something we've done for the last decade or so out at Joe Matt Campbell Park in Jonesboro. And, man, we always love doing it. It's such a great event, and I love the fact, Brad, that your family still wants to come out after all these years and work one of the color stations. That's something you guys seem to look forward
to. It is, yeah, a bit of a tradition now. We got our same spot we go to, throw color on people. Yeah, it is. It's like it literally is now part of our 4th of July.
Even better this year, we were raising money for our friend J.C. Cox and his fight against cancer, so The proceeds from that event went to help him in his fight. But another note from the Color Run that we want to bring up here are some of the guests we had that participated in the Color Run, and that is Brian Dooley and the A-State soccer team. They were all out there.
Yeah, and Coach Dooley, like I'll say this to cover him now, that was a voluntary event for the soccer players. Like there was no obligation or no requirement for them to go to that. But they did turn out in big numbers and had a good time out there. And I will also give a shout-out to Phil Woods as one of the guys that helps Coach Dooley on the coaching staff side of things. And Phil's from England, and so I said, well, it's awfully big of you to show up today on July 4th.
On July 4th. Yeah. He's a good sport.
He is a good sport, yeah. And he told us, so Phil is, in addition to what he does helping with the soccer program, he's married to Caroline Woods,
yes,
GM of our Learfield property.
We love
property.
Caroline.
And he was telling us, he said, hey, it worked out for me because their anniversary is July 4th, and they got married in England. He said, it worked out great because it was a holiday for you guys. Her folks got to come over and spend a couple extra days, and in my end, nobody knew why. It was July 4th didn't mean anything, so it worked out all the way around.
Well, it was a fun episode. Again, we've made it through 200 of these now. Thanks to our buddy Jerry Scott for coming in. I really enjoyed that visit. Always appreciate you listening. And hopefully,
well, that's the big thing here. Like, right, because, I mean, obviously, you know, there are bosses, there are sponsors. And, you know, if we did 200 of these and nobody ever listened to it, we wouldn't have done 200 of them.
Yeah.
So the people to thank the most, is if you're hearing this right now, we thank you the most.
And we hope you stick around for 200 more. For Brad, I'm Matt. We appreciate you listening. Have a great week, everybody.